symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Welcome again to AdFreeShows.com. This time we're hanging out with none other than JR. Jim Ross is the voice of wrestling and, of course, our co-host on Grillin' JR. How are you tonight, Mr. Jim Ross?
I'm good. I'm having a little beverage in my JR's copper mug.
Tell me, are you a big fan of those copper mugs?
Yeah.
Everyone else is too. And you can get yours. Are they on Box of Gimmicks? Is that where we can get those?
No, you can get them at jrsbbq.com.
There you go.
On my website. Yeah. That I talk about endlessly, ad nauseum. Right. I know everybody, fuck, he's going to talk about that damn website. All I want you to do is go over there and look. You might find a nice stocking stuffer for the wrestling person or for yourself. How about that? You actually get a gift, a wrestling or in a gift that you wanted.
That is the truth. My goodness.
So there you go.
Yes, there you go. For my birthday a couple of months ago, I ordered myself a huge, I'm talking about it had to be a case of the original barbecue sauce. Yeah. It is on the floor of my pantry because there's not room on the shelves for that many barbecue sauces, but it is so good, guys. Try it once and you'll keep coming back. You'll buy it thinking it's a novelty or a gimmick. It's not, it's delicious. You're going to love it, but this is Ad-Free Shows. And here I am just plugging away on this barbecue sauce and those mule mugs. That's how we do. Lopez, what do you have for Jim Ross tonight?
Well, Lauren, as always, thank you for hosting. Looking fabulous this evening, by the way.
Thank you very much, sir.
Jim, JR, it is an absolute pleasure to get the chance to visit with you. Had a chance, actually, my daughter and I, we went to Full Gear this past weekend, or gosh, what was it, 2 weekends ago now?
Did you wear a coat?
I did. It was cold. That snow was a pleasant surprise.
I had one nipple fall off. It's somewhere bouncing around in downtown Minneapolis. Nobody's turned it in, so I don't know what the hell's happened.
Did it get on the blue line or green line transit?
I don't know.
That's probably where I checked.
I don't know. It popped off when I was running across the street from the arena to the hotel.
Happens to me all the time, Jim. What are we going to do?
I don't know. I don't use mine. I don't need them. I'm good.
I just wanted to come in here and say that it is an absolute pleasure talking with you because I grew up, as many did in the 90s. I actually pursued a job career in broadcasting. So you inspired me to pursue that. I was play-by-play for multiple sports, got to cover the Junior College World Series
Congratulations. Junction.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's good to know that for as much as you've accomplished, for as much as you've done and seen, that you still take even mispronunciations to heart, that it matters that much to you.
Well, you want to do your job right. And it's just, I'm sure I've mispronounced words my entire career. Every broadcaster that you're going to listen to this weekend doing football will mispronounce something, a wrong down and distance, the wrong tackler, whatever. And it just shows that we're human and you're not working with a script. So everything's extemporaneous. It's just a big old ass ad lib. And then sometimes my mind gets rolling faster than I can talk. And then, Daniel Bryan, or Bryan Danielson, as I should call it, I've called him the other name forever. You know, I was the head of talent relations when we signed him and sent him to Shawn Michaels camp. So, it's just habit's hard to break. And, you know, I'm concentrating. But I love the cannon fodder provides for some naysayers who said, man, he's got to retire. It's just embarrassing. So as long as I don't embarrass me, I'm cool. And don't think that hasn't happened.
No, it's good to see. It matters a lot to you still. And, hope to have that same passion many years from now as I get done, hopefully towards the end of my career one day. So thank you so much for being an inspiration and thanks for all you do.
You bet, man. Just keep loving what you do. And that really helps you along the journey. You know, and I'm going to write another book. It looks like we've been offered a deal from a couple of publishers about my 50 years in wrestling, which will be, I got in 74. So I guess 2024, a couple of years. And if I'm above ground, that's what's going to happen. So I should be fine. But I never stopped loving what I did, even in the, you know, podunks and no money and long car trips, stinky ass wrestlers smoking in your car, cigars, weed. And I was a driver, so I was off limits to all that shit. But it killed my car. Just it was the smell like a pool hall. And they didn't care. They were begrudgingly paying 2 cents a mile to ride in it. And then someone would try to beat you out of that. I'll get you tomorrow on a trans. Sure you will. So anyway. But anyway, if you love what you do, seriously, it's kind of that way across the board, what we do for a living. If you love what you do, you can get really good at it. So hopefully that'll happen to you. I appreciate you being here with us tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lopez. And breaking news, we find out that another book could be in the works for old JR. That's exciting. And thank you for sharing that with us. Michael McClanahan, what do you have for Jim Ross?
Good evening. Thank you for getting my question in, Lauren and JR. Wonderful to talk with you as always. I have a two-part question tonight. My first question is, what are your thoughts on the most recent WWE releases that occurred yesterday? And given that you used to be in the talent relations position as the head of talent relations, how do you think social media has impacted the role and the job of the individual that manages talent relations?
Well, my thoughts on these releases are simply that, and it's an unfortunate thing to say, I'm going to sound crass and cold and old and cranky, it's a part of business. Everybody can't work in a company, any company, rarely in this era, forever. It just doesn't happen. So I feel badly that they were abruptly shown the door. I'm assuming that most of them have, they're going to get paid for 90 days, 3 months. So, you know, what I would suggest they do is enjoy the holidays. You got to make you don't have to make a booking. You got to go through TSA. So why don't you actually enjoy the holidays with these people called family? That'd be a neat deal. And then start making yourself better. You need to lose weight. You need to get a little work on your upper body. You need to get in front of a mirror and work on promos and facial expressions. I don't know what your game needs, but whatever you think your game needs, you should be working on that now. And just don't give up. It's like I said, if you really love pro wrestling, you'll find something. As long as you don't get boo-boo face and it's never, you know, I can't believe this happened to me. Hell, it's happened to all of us. What do? You can lay down and pity and bitch and moan, but I prefer to get up and compete. That's what I suggest they do. Enjoy Christmas, improve on your skill sets, and get up and compete. Oh, the other, what was the other part of the question?
The second part of the question was, what role, if any, do you think that social media has played in the job of the head of talent relations?
Well, it changes everything because the information flow is immediate. And all you got to do is tell one person. And then they get on Twitter and off they go. So it's affected everything in life. Because they're so dependent. If you don't believe me, just look at everybody when you go to an airport or a grocery store or anywhere. What do they have in their hand? Their phone. We can't let them down. We can't let them out of our sight. So consequently, I think these social media via your device is a game changer. So all you can do is be upfront and honest. And, you know, there's never a good time to let people go. But when you got to fish or cut bait, it's time to cut bait. You're caught in the crossfire. And others have been there too. So it's not poor me. What am I going to do? You're going to get up, compete, get better at what you do. And enjoy Christmas or Hanukkah, whatever you may celebrate. Or 10 other Yuletide holidays I'm forgetting and probably get in trouble for. You didn't say anything about something. Sorry. But anyway, that's what I would do. That's to answer your question.
Cool. Thank you so much for answering my question. And speaking of the holidays, I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to Chicago and do wrestling on Wednesday night. And then I'm going to fly back on Thanksgiving morning from Chicago. It's always a lot of fun to be on the air, in the air, in the airport on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I'm being very facetious right now. But in any event, I got reservations at a restaurant to have Thanksgiving dinner. My old pal Raphael Morphy's coming down. I got my, all my radiation stuff starts on Monday. And a little surgery. I'm having a surgery done with one doctor, and radiation was with an oncologist. So Raphael's come down to make sure I don't bail on anybody. I'm not going to do it. He's a friend, so he's just here to help me out, and I appreciate it.
Well, good. I'm glad that you have plans for Thanksgiving. I know that sounds like a lot going on for you. So keep us in the loop. Keep us posted. We'll be thinking about you. Mark Nelson, you know I'm always thinking about you, probably because you call me like every day.
Oh, please. Yeah, straight to voicemail, straight to voicemail, straight to voicemail, straight to voicemail. Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. So I got a little bit of a bone to pick with you. Okay. You kind of pissed me off, and I'm going to tell you why, but right. It's out of love that I'm pissed off at you. So take okay. it. Okay. So yeah. Are you still smoking?
I'm not smoking this very moment, but yes.
Okay.
Is that your bone?
What the hell, man? I need you to live for another at least 30 years. And if you're smoking, that ain't going to happen, especially you got cancer, right?
Thanks for reminding me.
Well, hell, if you're smoking, you're not making it any better.
Well, you know,
I need you around, man.
Thank you very much. I love you too. It's a bad habit, and I'm not going to try to defend it. Look, I quit for 20 years. And when Jen got killed, followed by the friggin' COVID, those are my two excuses. The stress of her dying had me pick up cigarettes again. I'm glad I didn't pick up anything heavier.
Me too.
I didn't. But nonetheless, they're poor reasons. They're not reasons. They're excuses. But nonetheless, I appreciate your concern.
Well, I want you around. I mean, you're the voice of my childhood. I want you to be the voice of my adulthood and me being an old man. And for me to do that, I need you around.
I appreciate your thoughts.
And I care. So my other part of that question for you is, what's going on with the cancer? What did they say about it? What's going on with you?
Well, I have my major meeting on Monday. I'm getting two places surgically removed from my back on Monday morning early. Outpatient type deal. That's what I'm told. Okay. And then I'm going to another doctor, and they're making me a boot that fits on my foot. And I guess it allows to have a direct aim into the tumor from the radiation. So you have to wear this little boot when you're getting treatment, and they have to make it for you. So that's what I'm going to do on Monday. Okay. Then I'm going to probably limp. No, I'm going to be a limp. Then I'm going to Chicago. And okay. I don't have any more shows. I got in me while undergoing radiation. I got 22 radiation treatments scheduled, and I'm going to try to get them done 5 a week. And when you want to do that, so I can protect my health in that respect, yep. It's hard to make the towns. So, you know, Tony Khan has no problem with it. He wants me to do whatever I need to do. He's fully supportive. There's no issues. And, you know, I got a great boss. That's very understanding. So he wants me back too. So, you know, I got all kinds of motivation.
I would rather lose you for a short time while you're getting better.
Yeah.
Than lose you forever. So please take care of yourself.
I'll do it, buddy.
And I mean that in all sincerity, please take care of yourself.
I will. And I'll work on the smoking, but that doesn't say I'm not going to smoke again here in a few minutes.
How about nonetheless, instead of smoking, you drink?
What's that? Oh yeah.
Drink instead of smoking.
Well, I'm doing both right now, but nonetheless, I'm always in for the excesses.
Thank you, Jim, for taking the time tonight. I appreciate it. And thank you for letting me go off on you.
All right, Mark. I probably needed it.
Take care.
You bet, buddy.
I've got a question.
What a moment. Nick Hodge, we'll get to you in just a second. What a moment. Jim Ross, you know, as you just touched on, you may be missing a little bit of work.
What the hell? Look at that.
I just want to throw this out there that I don't think we can watch AEW without.
Oh, sure you can. I hope you do.
We're stuck with Tony Schiavone, and who wants that?
Oh, he and the Excalibur and whomever sits in my chair will do a great job. There's a lot of announced talent there that could fill in quite admirably, to be honest with you. So, and to be honest, another honesty, I'm not really concerned about who sits there.
Good.
No matter to me.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to say about the decision making, and thank God of that. And so whoever Tony puts in there's going to work with me. I'll trust his judgment. He knows what he wants to hear.
Yeah.
And he may have something in mind. It could be Taz. It could be Jericho. It could be Punk. You never know. He's got a vivid imagination. And a lot of guys would like that opportunity to work on another skill set, yes, put in their toolbox.
That's right.
So we'll see how it works out. I'm going to be fine. I'm just going to worry about getting better.
That's all you need to be worried about, Jim Ross. So that's great. It won't be anything like the Voice of Wrestling, though. That is for sure. Nick Hodge, come on in, buddy. What you got?
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey, JR.
Yeah.
Jim. I'm a huge fan of yours. I really am. I've watched you since I was a kid. I remember the Hardy Boy days. I remember the Stone Cold era days. And the question I really have is that I guess you were really best friends with Stone Cold. You're the one who kind of, you know, brought him back into the business when he left. Because I was watching a documentary and you were in it, and they were talking about how you brought him back to the WWE. I guess my question is, I guess you've always been close to Stone Cold, and are you still close to him?
Answer that is yes and yes. I was a big fan of his work in WCW. I thought he had it. And I don't understand, you know, the wrestling politics are what they are, good, bad, or indifferent. So when he left there, I thought that was a big break for him because he wasn't going to be used and he wasn't going to be happy because he knew he had something special in him and he just needed an opportunity to display it. So then when he went to do those promos, a little bit of stuff at ECW, you know, I was in charge of talent relations at that time. And I was, I knew he was a guy we needed to have. It's, you know, it's like your favorite ball club, guys. They need, what in MLB right now, who's the trades, the free agents are in the waiver wire in NFL, things of that nature. You want the best players on your team and worry about where they're going to play once you get them in the house. And I didn't see Steve as a heel, but Vince did. And he put him with Ted DiBiase, a great guy. It just didn't click because the fans wanted him to be a babyface.
Yeah, I still – he is so automatically a babyface. he's just always been like my guy. You and Stone Cold has always been my two guys growing up because I always remember you – being the best promoter in business I ever heard. You always kept me engaged.
Well, that's it. I'm an engager.
It's nice to meet you, Jim.
All right, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, Nick Hodge, you must be new around here. I don't think I've seen you before. So welcome. We're glad to have you. And all the way from Iceland, it's KJ. Hi, KJ.
Hey, Lauren. Hey, JR.
Hey, buddy. How you doing? How's the weather over there?
It's pretty icy? Good. Not too bad right now, but okay. Hopefully it stays that way.
All right. And so we'll move on from the enthralling meteorologist talk, but what's on your mind tonight?
My question is, I'm kind of piggybacking off of Michael McClanahan's question about the releases from the WWE and you being the former head of talent relations. Can you talk a little bit about like what that process is from figuring out like who to cut and what that whole process is?
Well, the process is the creative has nothing for you and they've written, they've done skits, they've done vignettes or pitched those ideas. And Vince didn't like them. And all of a sudden you're in a scenario where you got a guy that he's on the team, but he has no role in the television show other than maybe losing. And that's not entirely a defeat, no pun intended, but it's TV time. So if the creative group doesn't really have anything for you, or if Vince himself has looked at this talent and has just made the decision that he's not for WWE, then it's over. And so that's the deal. I mean, it's not, you think that they're going to balance their budget, the kind of money they make on the salaries that they dumped for these guys? Are you crazy? It means nothing. It's all about, they don't, if they had a great creative idea to get somebody hot or somebody had distinguished themselves in the ring and they said, man, this guy's going to get over. Austin got over because as a baby face, we were pushing the hell out of him as a heel because he connected with the audience. And apparently someone in a position of influence in WWE doesn't believe that these individuals that were terminated could move the needle. It's crass or whatever is cold to say, but let's be realistic about it. And that's kind of what it was. So it starts really if the creative has run out of ideas and they got nothing and they keep pitching things to Vince that he doesn't like, or it's not fitting to him, then you run out of options. And so then the guy in talent relations gets to deliver the good news.
Did you ever have to be in the shoes of Laurinaitis that Laurinaitis is in now, to having to cut so many people and like every
No, I fired people and I cut people. Worst part of the job, because so many wrestlers, they only want to do one thing in life. That's to be a great pro wrestler. They wanted that for their entire life. They have no, in their view, they have no other options. I got to do this. And sometimes that's just not the way the world works, unfortunately. Yeah. That's normally the deal. If there's a creative spark that looked like might turn this guy on and our girl and get him rolling, then they stay. If there's no creative support for that individual and Vince hasn't seen anything in those individuals, they're out of here. That's where it is. That's the answer to your questions.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And
Thanks for calling in.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you,
sir. Have an extra slice of turkey for me. I lived in the States for a couple of years, and that Thanksgiving period is what I miss the most.
Yeah. It's good. One of my favorite holidays, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But thank you. And enjoy yours as well. You celebrate. I don't know.
Thank you. And I'm sending all the good thoughts from Iceland for your chemotherapy and stuff. Hope you kick out of it.
No chemotherapy, radiation.
Oh, that's what I mean. Yeah, sorry.
There's a big difference. I checked that out. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm sending you all my thoughts.
Okay, so thank you. I appreciate it.
And all of us are Michael Amend. What do you have for Jim Ross this evening?
Hey, Lauren. Hey, Jim. How are y'all?
Good.
Well, first of all, Jim, Boomer Sooner.
Yeah, we're going to need all the Boomer Sooner we got tomorrow. Tomorrow's tough. It's in Norman. That'll help. I was going to that game too, but other issues have canceled that trip. I was going to fly out there today, but so I'm going to make it up because I'm going to the Jags game on Sunday. So I get a little football in and then start my little journey on Monday morning early.
I was going to go to the game as well, but I've got to go to Dallas for family birthday.
Oh, well, enjoy the birthday. And it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough game. And I ain't going to start on football, but I love it. But this is going to be a tough, we have not played well. And if we don't tackle better, do the fundamental things we talk about in wrestling, the fundamental things, locking up, taking a flat back, managing your feet, things that a lot of guys don't even think about, a lot of fans don't think about, then that's where we are. They got to tackle, man. They got to catch the football and tackle. Fundamental stuff. Older than dirt.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. Hey, man, let me give you a little life hack just in time for Mother's Day and Father's Day. I'm talking about paintyourlife.com. That's the place where you can get a gift that mom or dad will never forget. Real quick, do you remember what you got mom or dad last year for Mother's Day or Father's Day? Well, here's how you give a gift that they'll never forget. You find something that's meaningful, something that's personal. Maybe we're talking about their mom or dad who's no longer here. Maybe it's about a long-lost relative. Maybe it's about their favorite pet who's no longer with us. Maybe there was always this dream that mom and dad were going to vacation to some exotic tropical island, but they never quite made it there. Well, all of those dreams can become reality at paintyourlife.com. You simply upload those photos. You can even use a photo right out of your phone. They can even help you combine photos to create one unique memory. You'll pick the artist. You'll even pick the medium. Hey, do you want oil, acrylic, watercolor, charcoal? You can even pick the frame. The whole process is less than 5 minutes to get started. You can get it in as little as 2 weeks, but along the way, you work hand in hand to ensure that the artist is nailing it. They're getting exactly what you wanted, and you're going to get that reaction you wanted from mom or dad. I'm telling you, this has been a home run for me. I've used it for my mom, for my dad, for my father-in-law, for my cousins, for my wife. It's great for any occasion, but with Mother's Day and Father's Day right around the corner, how do we show the people who gave us everything that we really care? I don't think you can beat a meaningful gift like this from paintyourlife.com. And if you're looking to give the best and most meaningful gift you've ever given, paintyourlife.com can hook you up. And there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money's refunded, guaranteed. And right now is a limited time offer. You can get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. Now to get this special offer, just text the word Ross to 87204. That's Ross to 87204. Text ROSS to 87204. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Message and data rates may apply. See paintyourlife.com/terms for details.
Absolutely. I was in Vegas last week. Unfortunately, I bet on our Sooners. That didn't go too well for me.
Oh, against Baylor?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's a tough one too, man. Hey, we could lose. We could easily lose all three, all, the next two games. Iowa State has got a, they're pissed off. And then we go to up to Stillwater to play OSU and they're ranked higher than we are.
Absolutely. We had a bunch of lawyers out at the Paris in Vegas. So we were cheering hard at the sports book, but not hard enough.
Yeah, I guess not. We've all been there.
Can I ask you a sports question?
Yeah.
I know you're good friends with Bob Stoops. Do you think he'll get back into coaching?
No, he likes what he's doing now a lot. And he's, you know, he's invested so well in real estate properties down here near where I live and in Florida. I think he's got a couple of homes in Chicago. He's got a big, nice home in Norman, and he may have others, but he's invested a lot in real estate over the years. It's done very well for him. So he has no money issues. The, you know, the salary that say Mike McCarthy would earn from the Cowboys is doesn't, It wouldn't move the needle for him. He likes being home. He's got to see some of his kids' games. His son plays for OU, as you know, and he likes broadcasting. So he's still a great friend. We communicate. He's been communicating with me during this cancer thing, and you know, your real friends come out when his chips are down. He's a real friend.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, Jim. Hope you pull through and everything goes well.
I'm going to pull through. We're not going to leave this conversation tonight where he inferred he may not pull through. That's bullshit. I'm pulling through. End of story.
Love it. Love seeing you on AEW. It's a flashback to my childhood. I feel like right now is the best time in wrestling. Thanks for all you do. And
you bet.
I hope to talk to you soon.
Okay, man. Thanks for joining us.
Jim, speaking of your football teams being disappointing, mine is too. Hello, Atlanta Falcons. And it so happens they'll be in Jacksonville later this month. So maybe you and I will cross paths should I decide to go to that game, hoping that might be the one that they win. Eddie Prather comes to us tonight with a question. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Lauren. Hey, JR. Lauren, I tried my best to cheer the Falcons to a miracle win last night. I failed.
I did too. That's okay. What you got for Jim?
Hey, JR. It was great to meet you in person at Top Guy Weekend. It was great to meet you in the King.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
And I have tried your the seasoning on my chili and stew, and it turned out perfectly.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad you tried it. Thanks for that.
Yeah. JR, my question is about the year 1985, the end of 85.
Yeah.
What was the thought process on the DiBiase babyface turn? Because I kept on rewatching the previous few episodes before that. Uh-huh. That was not even a little bit of a sign of him turning babyface. He was still a very hot heel. The process of turning a hot heel.
It's called long-term planning. And there was a reason behind everything that Cowboy did. There was a storyline arc that in the process of this, Teddy would turn, be a baby face. And that may have also, I'm not sure, 85, I couldn't remember what I had for breakfast this morning, but 1985, we may have had some defections on the baby face side. I'm not sure. And if that happened, then that was another reason you want to restock the shelves of baby faces. That was good. We did good business, and the TV shows were exciting. Cowboy did a real good job of that angle. But what he did, he got a hot angle. Then he figured logical ways to get other people invested in that angle, other talents. And so they had a vested interest in the angle getting over, so that it gives you more depth on the card. He had more matches that had significance on the house shows. And remember, in those days, that's the only way the boys made money. There was no T-shirt deals. There's no marketing, you know, no social media influencers or none of that stuff. Nothing. So
it was a brilliant turn. Plus, not just Ted DiBiase turned babyface on that turn. Dr. Death also turned babyface on that turn.
Well, Doc was joined at the hip with Teddy to teach Doc how to work. That's why Cowboy had so much faith in Ted DiBiase, as he should have. Ted was a magnificent in-ring talent, and he understood the business. His mom and dad were both wrestlers, so he grew up around it. It's a natural thing to process all this crazy ass psychology that you seemingly have to master to be a top earning pro wrestler. He was just really, really good. So Doc was with him to learn.
Couldn't ask for a better teacher, huh?
No, it worked out real well. Lucky for Doc. Doc went on to do real well thanks to the foundation. And Cowboy had a lot to do with Doc's in-ring stuff, too. He took a serious hand, interest in coaching him up.
Yeah, I was totally invested in Dr. Death in 87 when he went and won the UWF belt from Big Bubba. So.
Yeah, I was there. I remember that. It was a good one.
Yeah. Hey, thank you for taking my question. And JR, my thoughts and prayers are with you, sir.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you for being the voice of my childhood.
Well, I'm glad you were listening all those years. I got a few more left in me, and I'm going to be just fine. Don't worry about JR.
Aw, that is the truth. JR, we're having a little conversation over here on the side about Christmas movies. Do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
Well, it would be something funny. Griswold's Christmas or something like that. Nothing that made any sense. Nothing that was really that good. If they'd have made a Porky's Christmas movie, I probably like that too.
Okay. So I'm a
high class guy here.
But
no, I don't want to cry at a movie. I don't want to sit here by myself and my here. And look. I just want to look at the beach and be happy. And so to get something that's a tearjerker, I'm just not there. So I like humor. I like funny. And Chevy Chase and his pratfalls and all that stuff. And the little double entendres I thought was always entertaining. So that would be one I could think of off the top of my head.
I love that one too. People always ask me out here on my wall of fame. They're like, who's that one? That's Chevy Chase. I love him. He's one of my favorite old man boyfriends. He's adorable and hilarious. Mike Whitaker. How about you?
How you doing, Jim?
I'm good. You know, you're adorable as well, Mike.
Thank you very much. I got a question. How do you feel about Mike Cole and Pat on commentary?
They do a good job. They do a good job. I will be honest, as I am always. That's kind of a good habit to get in. You ain't got to remember what you said. You tell the truth and how you feel. I think they do a good job. To be honest, I don't watch that show regularly.
Right.
And it's for no particular reason. I'm not boycotting. I'm not angry. I'm not nothing. When I think about it, I certainly tune it in because I like wrestling. But Friday nights for me is Rampage. And that's takes care of my wrestling fix for Friday night. I like the 1 hour format, by the way, a lot. But they do a good job. You know, Pat's entertaining and he's got a big personality. He's learning from Michael Cole, who's, you know, he's been around a long time. He's perfected his craft. And he had big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
I didn't follow Gordon Solie. Shivani did. And so Shivani got the follow back on that shit. I didn't, because you don't follow a legend like Solie.
No.
And so, you know, Michael's got to put in some tough situations. Either due to my Bell's palsy or me getting let go more than once. So he got thrown around a little bit. So he's been very resilient. He's a student of the game, a company man. And so I got a lot of respect for him. He's taken care of his wife's been sickly over the years. He's a damn good husband. He's a real good father. And that means a whole lot more than how does he do on Friday nights? He does just fine. And if I don't listen to watch SmackDown, it's not because I don't want to listen to the announcers. They both are entertaining and do a good job. It's not my style, but that means nothing. It's just not my style.
Right. Now, another thing real quick. A lot of people here know I like to throw things on the smoker, do a lot of low and slow cooking. Yep. Do you have any good recipes you like to do on that?
You know what? I've learned that my salmon tastes better on the grill.
Okay.
And I sometimes use the cedar planks.
Yes, I just did that this week.
That's kind of idiot-proof for me. And I use the all-purpose seasoning to season the salmon, for example. Real simple. One seasoning.
Mm-hmm.
And load her up there. And then about a minute or no, maybe 2 minutes before I'm going to plate it, I drizzle our mustard on it. It's jalapeno honey mustard. It's fabulous on seafood. So try and it's good on grilled shrimp.
Okay. It just
gives a little bit of personality. So, salmon has been I love salmon. I had some today for lunch. So, I love the salmon. It's just living here in Florida. It's fresh.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
So you might try that. You know, here's what I found out on anything I put on the grill, to grill it or to smoke it. The longer the opportunity I have to let it, marinate. So shall we say, set in the refrigerator overnight. If nothing else, just the seasoning, or if you got some other marinade you like to use, the longer you can let it your meat, your products do that, the better off you are. It works every time. It upgrades it. If you try to season it and then throw it and get it out of the refrigerator, wash it off real good, season it and then throw it on the grill, you're kind of cheating yourself a little bit. It's still good, but it'd be better if you did it the night before.
I actually took some of your seasoning and I used it in a coffee pot and made it into a liquid to inject a pulled pork one time.
Wow.
And that came out amazing.
Wow, good for you. That's creative.
So, I love your seasoning. You use it all the time. You use it on pretty much everything.
I appreciate it. We appreciate it in our little group.
But thank you for your question.
Okay, buddy. Thanks for coming in and joining us. You bet.
All right. Thank you for that, Mike Whitaker. JR, we have some other conversations going on now. We're kind of getting in the holiday spirit. Darren wanted to know, are you a turkey guy or a ham guy when it comes to the holiday?
Turkey.
Meat? Turkey? Not a fan.
Nor did I say it anywhere in that rendition. I didn't like ham.
Okay, fine.
Let's not be an idiot here. I like ham.
I'm not into poultry.
And I like, that's your deal.
It is.
I like turkey. I like dark meat. Mm. Yeah, okay. Legs, thighs. you know,
well, that settles
no more dark meat things. So yeah, I like turkey. I like cornbread dressing, not the cowboy. And I used to go to New Orleans on Thanksgiving for the Superdome every frigging year. We stayed at the same hotel, eat the same meals because he liked them, because the croissants were buttery and flaky. Seriously. So the buttery, flaky croissants got us back for our big Thanksgiving meal. And they had oyster dressing. I can't do it. I thought it was cornbread dressing. Took a big old bite and almost hurled. You don't want to hurl a cowboy sitting around. So I like cornbread dressing. If I had turkey and dressing and gravy and mashed potatoes and something green, I'm good.
I don't know. That sounds good enough. Nick Hodge, what's up? What's up, buddy?
JR, my favorite WrestleMania ever is WrestleMania 20. What is yours? I don't know, top one that you can say, because it's hard, you know, because there's a lot. But what's your top WrestleMania that you ever covered?
17.
Mine's WrestleMania 20.
17. Yeah. I kind of like WrestleMania 9 because that's where I wrote my proverbial cherry in a WWE.
Yeah.
But 17 from start to finish was exhilarating, especially with it being in the Astrodome, a stadium that I'd watched virtually every Sunday, because in Oklahoma, the NBC affiliate carried all the AFC games or the AFL games at that time. So, and Houston Oilers with Bum Phillips and Earl Campbell and that whole crew, they were on my TV every week. So that some of the half those games came from the Astrodome. So I always wanted to go to a game there. I thought I was the building. I popped on the building. So, and to see it full, not an empty chair anywhere, was really, really a great experience. So I'd say 17.
That has to be one of my top ones, because that has Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit, which was awesome. It has Stone Cold versus The Rock at the very end, which was awesome. And it had the Hardy Boys versus The Edge and Christian. And man, that was great too. I mean, it was loaded with just
did the matches. Martha Dudley's in that ladder match? Hardy's, Dudley's, Edge and Christian. Anybody know?
I think it was TNT.
Somebody get on your phone and look that up. I think I may be wrong. It's a long time ago. That was the start to finish. It was really good. It was a different pace because I worked with Paul Heyman, who's entirely different dynamic for me than I had with Jerry. In the beginning, Jerry was a devout heel. He got everybody started loving the king over time, and why not? So that created a different dynamic. Heyman and I were at each other's throat every minute of every show, and everybody thought it was real.
Heyman did voice that with you too. It's been a while since I watched it. But that's the one where I didn't like Stone Cold in, because that's where Vince McMahon helped Stone Cold. And I was like, that's when he did a good job turning heel there. I thought,
never
looking back at it.
It didn't work. It wasn't going to work. But, you know, it's like Vince said to me when we were talking about it. He said, we owe it to him to try it, because it was Steve's idea. And then when Vince said that, he was absolutely correct. We owed to Steve, we'll try your idea. You know, you deserve that. So anyway, it's like casting John Wayne as a Nazi. That ain't gonna happen. That don't work.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the number one. What's that?
I said, I want to be surprised if we see that on the news one day.
All right.
Let's hope not. Let's not get John Wayne canceled out here. I do want to point out that Jim Ross in the last few minutes has told us that he's big on legs and thighs. And he also mentioned getting his proverbial cherry popped. And I'm just dead. I'm dead on arrival. Dave McClay, join us in this conversation, won't you?
I sure will. How you doing tonight?
Good to see you.
Good seeing you too. Hey, JR, what's up?
What's up, man? How you doing?
JR, first off, still enjoying all your great products at JR's Barbecue. And what's the status on your cannabis farm? And do us ad-free show members get a discount on that?
Well, let's grow some weed first. We hope to be in production. I funded this business for my youngest daughter and her husband. He got out of school teaching because they're, you know, teachers don't make any money. They're starved to death, poor bastards. They deserve much more pay. And in Oklahoma, it must be worse than it is in a lot of places. But nonetheless, they're both really bright kids, college educated, smart, learned on the topic. They studied it. They brought in a third party that we gave a piece of the business to that's been very active in startups and in resurrections. And he lives in Tulsa now. So I bought some land and we're going to build some grow houses. I hope that it all starts showing some growth, no pun intended, by 2022 or spring. But, you know, we seem to be doing all right. We've got seed in, we've got, we're buying dirt, we're buying, it's all kinds of cool stuff. I have nothing to do with it other than just kind of backseat driver. And that's always, that can be a pain to ask, especially when you're dealing with your kids. But I get a report every week on what's going on and what they've accomplished, where their problem areas lie. And I try to give them a little advice when I can from a business standpoint. It has nothing to do with, what are you going to name that weed? Is there going to be a slobber knocker weed? I don't know. Mm-hmm. When we get there, let's grow some weed first and before we start figuring out all these marketing ideas. So that's kind of why I did it. I wanted to do something for my kids instead of them having to wait till somebody reads the will type thing. You know, I'm alive. I can see the happiness in their face. I'm helping them out. And if this works, they could be making a great living in this world for years to come. And that's my goal. It's not about me. It's about helping them get on their up and running and building a business. And, so I hope it works for them.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
You want to call it JR's Chocolate Cake, maybe? That'd be kind of cool.
Maybe, you never know. It's the name of the company is going to be Black Hat Farms. That's the name of the company. And then all the other stuff that we're going to do, products we're going to make. We're going to have a storefront, I think. We're looking at that in Tulsa. So, somebody's out and about and they're driving through the Tulsa area. And, we have that store open. You can hop in there and check out what we got. So, that's why I'm doing it. And hopefully they'll have fun and make them some money, make a living.
But Jay, the question I actually had was though, towards the end of your, WWE run, maybe the last like 8 years or so, I'm just curious, because a lot of people, myself included, think you're the greatest babyface wrestling announcer of all time. So why were you only used to make like a special appearance here or there, like the 25th Raw or the Triple H for Santé, Hell in a Cell, et cetera?
Well, they pretty much written me off. I think without saying it, they thought I was too old. And it was Vince's call. Totally. So that's what he wanted. He wanted to get younger, and that did not include me. So it's like we're talking about the earlier in the show about these cuts, these terminations. Come on. You think I don't understand that? I've done it and I've been there. So you ever see those in the box scores? I don't know how freaky you guys are in stats. I'm crazy about them. Where it says, did not play, coach's decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My deal was did not announce boss's decision. Simple as that. That's why.
Well, I'm really glad you're back on TV every week and you're part of the greatest wrestling announce team right now, I think.
Thank you.
Crazy to me too, because it's kind of like Raw and Nitro have like combined. And I grew up watching you on opposite sides growing up.
Yeah. I enjoy reuniting with Tony. And we have fun. We were talking the other day, this past week in Norfolk. I said, when's the first time we worked together? And we figured it out. It was like 34 years ago.
Wow.
So I said, that's a long time. I said, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? And it is. 34-year partnership, or, you know, still going. So we had a break in that action, you know, but he stayed in WCW and I went to WWE. I think we both made the right decisions for each other for our careers. So anyway, it's been a fun ride. Tony Khan facilitates that. Tony Khan's a big fan of Tony's. Tony Khan's a big fan of mine. And I think he's kind of living a dream right now. I know I am. I love it. He lets us work. He's not in our ear. He's not cursing. He's not yelling and screaming and acting possessed. He just treats people really good. And the better you treat people, the more they're going to invest in making your business better. They're not pissed off all the time or frustrated. Negative energy. That's not Tony. So it's good for us.
And I love hearing that he listens to everybody. Like everybody. Oh, yeah. That is really cool.
Everybody's got a good idea. Just pitch it to him. And he's not hard to get in front of. You got to get an appointment. You might catch him at the coffee machine or something. He listens everywhere. So, I really enjoy my time with Tony. It's good. It's refreshing. And you can tell how much he loves pro wrestling. Hey, he's passionate about the fans too. He gives a shit. He really gives a shit.
Yeah. I went to Dynamite in Boston a few weeks ago and he came out and did the announcement. I thought that was really special. He came out and said, "I have the crowd."
He loves that. Yeah. He loves doing that, man. Cause he gets so pumped up and it's pretty incredible. So I've never worked for anybody with that kind of enthusiasm. Let's put it that way. I work with some smart guys, some successful people, but nobody with Tony's overflowing passion for what we do. It's really refreshing. You look forward to going to work.
Yeah. And I'm really glad there's an alternative now. Like, I love AEW. I'm loving it every week, sir. Yeah.
Hopefully we'll keep it going. Keep the momentum going.
Well, anyway, Jay, thank you so much for your time tonight. And selfishly, I hope you never retire. But
I'm not, Dave. You're gonna read about me on online. Ross found dead in Marriott.
I hope that never happens. And by the way, Grillin' J.I. is my favorite podcast, and I love it every week. So thank you for all you do, sir. And I hope you recover from your illness. And I hope you get God bless you.
Okay, buddy. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Yeah.
JR says he is living the dream, and so are all of we, JR. We're having a great time listening to you and Tony and Excalibur. Everything going on with AEW, I'm just a mark, but I'm loving it. I'm having a great time, and I'm glad to hear that you are too. Brad Stanton writes in with a question. He asks, what do you think of Brian Danielson's attitude change and how quickly he was able to change his character?
Love it. I love everything that Brian Danielson has done since day one in AEW. He's always been one of my favorite guys to be around. Positive, smart, you know, he shows great skills without having to pat himself on the back. You know, he's won every match he's been in and he's won it with a different finisher. And it takes confidence to do that. It's not your tried and true finishers. He has a variety of things he can use to beat your ass. And as you go forward, that's a great ammunition to tell great stories. So I had no problem with it. If you think about it in reality, why wouldn't he? He's the number one contender. The match with he and Hangman Page is inevitable. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. When or where, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I suggest it'll be on pay-per-view, but it might not be. Maybe Tony throws a curveball there. Hell, I don't know. But nonetheless, I loved it. It really galvanized that relationship between the champ and the number one contender. So I think that was really good and timely. And look, after a pay-per-view, you got to kind of wipe the slate clean a little bit on some of your things and get some new marriages, new matchups. So I liked it a lot. It really, you know, I don't know. I can't speak for Excalibur or Tony. Cause we don't see each other all day. We see each other during the day a little bit, but it's, you know, it's not like we hang in a room together and talk all day. Everybody's got their other things they do and everybody's got their way for preparing. But I just think that his ability to change his game and now we're starting to build this story. And I love it. I really love the fact that we're doing things differently. We're getting new marriages. I think that's smart booking in my view. And you just got to hope that you guys like them, mm-hmm. The new marriages. Are you going to look forward to seeing the champion and the number one contender when they finally meet? You will if we build the story correctly and build the right amount of anticipation, because you know they're going to have a hell of a match. You shouldn't even think about, well, I wonder how good the match will be. You think Meltzer will give it 5 stars, maybe 6? Ooh. Don't worry about that shit. It's going to be a great match. How could they have a bad match? How could they have? You know, they'll be given plenty of time. You know, they'll go on with a lot of buildup and set the table will be set. Everything will be in place. So I look forward to stuff like that. But I had no problem with it. I kind of liked it. I liked it a lot, as a matter of fact.
Well, if you like it, then I love it. Thank you so much for that question, Brad Stanton. Up next is Blake Martin. Hello, Blake.
Hey, how you doing, Miss Lauren?
Doing well. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you as always. How you doing, Mr. Jim?
I'm good, buddy.
And I want to tell you, first off, it's an honor to be able to finally get to talk to you, brother. Man, you're a hero of mine.
I've been waiting to talk to you for years.
John Brown, that's what I like to hear now. look here, Mr. Jim. I want to tell you, I know it's already been addressed, but you know, when you mispronounce names or whatever, don't let nobody get under your skin for that.
I'm getting better at it. I'm too damn hard on myself sometimes. I'm a egomaniac, I guess, but I just don't like making mistakes. And then, of course, as we mentioned earlier, when somebody had a question about social media and how's it changed as a talent relations guy, et cetera, it's just, you just got to ignore it. And I have a hard time ignoring confrontation, which is not always wise, I'll be honest with you. So, but I appreciate your feedback on that deal. I'm better at it now. You know, if I just let it roll, brother. And if I say something stupid, which I do, it's ad lib, or I say somebody's name wrong, which I have, and I probably still will. So fucking what? I'm working hard. I got passion. I'm in the moment. I'm not rehearsed. I'm not being overproduced. It's me making the mistake or me making the good remark, whatever you perceive it to be. So I appreciate that, man.
Absolutely, brother. I wanted to tell you, man, I've been a wrestler. I'm going to go through the same spiel I did with Arn and everybody else. I try to get everybody's opinion to help me because I always trying to better myself.
Yeah.
I've been working these things on and off North Carolina for about 10 years or so. I love it. I don't get to do it as often as I want to or as I should, but I'm looking for ways to make it, man. I'm 29 years old. And what's some advice you can give, man? Like anything.
Are you in great shape? Are you in great cardio shape? If they said, do we need you to go tonight? Oh, so-and-so didn't show up. We need you to go with 60 minutes. Can you do it? You answered my question. You can't do it. I understand that. And so what I would suggest, always be the best conditioned guy in your wrestling gym or your show you're working. That's really important. And always be on time. Never be late. Be reliable. And do what you're asked to do by the guy that's paying you. Or make a deal with him. If I don't like what you want me to do, just don't pay me. You're not going to do that. That's why you're there to make a payday. Buy a few groceries. What the hell? And the other thing is, if you allow yourself to get into, well, like if this doesn't work, I'm screwed. I don't know what your skill set is outside pro wrestling. I have no idea, Blake, but you know, you need to have your be aware that there's other ways to make an income that has benefits, et cetera, et cetera. So, but the conditioning is really, really crucial. And the other stuff is just common sense stuff. For God's sakes, you show up 30 minutes before the show and you don't want to put somebody over. You ain't working any more of my shows. As a matter of fact, you're not working that one. That's stupid. And so, you know, so anyway, there's a couple of things that there, maybe they're mundane, but if you check those boxes, you might find yourself doing something better. And you know, I don't know if you sent videos in to other companies or AEW or MLW or, you know, NWA, I don't have a clue, but you got to find a way to get yourself in front of the decision makers in these various companies and try to get yourself booked.
Yes, sir. Also, this will be the last question. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I'm trying my best to save up my money. It's hard. I got a 4-year-old daughter and I got a little girl on the way.
Wow.
Expecting her any, you know? So it's kind of hard. And Chris Jericho didn't give us too long to plan for this one, but I've never been on a cruise and I want to go so bad. And is there any way at all possible, if there's ever any downtime in that in the ring, that I can sign some type of waiver and show somebody what I got in the ring?
I don't know, buddy. I wish I could give you a definitive answer or give you hope. I'm just too honest. It's a long shot. But nobody's seen you. Nobody. That's not a good term. I haven't seen you work. I'm sure Chris Jericho probably hasn't seen you work. I might be wrong. I don't recall it. But, you know, look, where do you live?
I live in close to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Well, the hell you that? You should be able to, you know, maybe when I wish there was a way you could be on the we have a show in Jacksonville. The last Wednesday in January, kind of a New Year's Eve kind of a thing. And I hope to be back in the saddle for that one. It's right here. I'm 20 minutes from the arena where I sit. But that would be a good opportunity for you. It's just a drive, it'd be easy to get here. I don't know, buddy. It's tough navigating those waters you're in right now. And the key thing is there's nothing more important than you got to do. It ain't that cruise. Is taking care of those kids. And somewhere along the way, you can be play wrestler on the weekend and have a job and have benefits and have a steady income. Because how many spot shows or how many indie shows are on Thursday night type thing? I'm sure there are some. Most of them are on Friday and Saturday. And right. So you get somebody that runs a lot of shows and you prove that you have worth, then. So, and if you're good enough on those jobs, somebody's going to notice you. Word's going to get out because they always got to bring a guy in that's allegedly a star that can help draw the house.
Yes,
you're really
sir.
Good. You're really good. They see you. Then they're going to tell somebody, hey, you ought to check out this guy. He's on one of the shows I was on. He's pretty good. Type dude.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, Will or Utah, man, me and him trained together. And whenever we were training one time, I was going to try to do a swanton bomb off the top. First time me trying it, really. And he volunteered to be my stunt dummy.
He's and a brave man.
Ask him about it one day. I landed on him and said I matched his soul out the bottom of his feet.
those are tricky moves to practice. You should practice on a dummy. Wheeler's not a dummy.
Well, one more thing, if you don't mind, man, I believe in God, and I believe God can heal you, and you already said that you know you're going to get the healing, so I know you're in agreement. You mind if I say a quick prayer real quick?
I can't stop a man from praying.
All right. Dear Lord, thank you once again for another opportunity to come to prayer, dear Lord. I pray right now, and I don't want to take up too much time, but dear Lord, I pray that you just touch Mr. Jim Ross, heal him of this cancer, and in the name of the Lord, I rebuke it, dear Lord. I pray that you just heal him, give him the successful treatments that he needs, and just take that cancer and send it right back to hell where it came from, God. I thank you for everything. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, buddy.
Wait, thank that's y'all,
Lauren, that's a first.
That is a first. I don't know that we've had any live prayer on ad-free shows yet. Thank
you, Blake. Good call, Blake. Thank you for joining us tonight. Good luck on your journey. But remember the priorities. Two kids. They wouldn't be here without you. It's your job now to take care of. You with
me? Thank you, Mr. I really appreciate that, brother. And Miss Lauren, I want to thank you for making some of all of our dreams come true with this ad-free shows deal. I would have never dreamed in a million years I would have been able to talk to all these people.
Listen, Lord, Blake, me either. I am not the one making these dreams come true. I just get to be here, part of the fun. Glad to have you, Blake. We're following your story. Jim, he's asked similar questions in some of our other Zooms. He's getting all kinds of good advice from great minds in the wrestling business. So thank you, Blake. Thank you so much. Phil Borgen had to bail a little early, but he also wrote in and wanted to know, Jim Ross, do you think Triple H would start his own promotion?
No.
No, why would he?
Doesn't need the money.
Right.
Doesn't need the headache. This is like the ridiculous rumor that Jeff Jarrett and Conrad are going to start a wrestling company.
Come on, that's not a rumor. That could be true.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. They're both a lot smarter. They're both a lot. Now, Jeff may, because he's had that experience. There's no way in hell Conrad would put up with bullshit. He has no patience. He's a businessman. In a very unbusiness-like genre. But no, I don't think so. Triple H has got all the money he'll ever need, and his kids will ever need, and their kids will ever need. And, you know, his biggest issue right now, and I'm not sure where he stands on it, is getting healthier. And I, for one, wish him – he's got three kids, man. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't like him on that angle of the sledgehammer. Oh, Jesus Christ. Really? He's got three daughters. I think they deserve for their daddy to be healthy and live a long life. Simple as that, man. So I don't think so, though. My answer is no.
Yeah, I don't see that one in the cards either. Although for me, I'll believe it when I see it on Conrad and Jeff Jarrett. I'm not ready to say that would never happen yet. And I need to know, JR, too, while the internet is debating about this, was Double J ever one of the Four Horsemen? Yes, no?
Well, I guess he was at, from a theatrical standpoint. Well, I mean, you know, where they get letter jackets? I don't know. I haven't seen that. Rings. But on TV, he was. Sure.
I guess. No. Arn Anderson says no. Arn Anderson has the final say on this one.
Fine with me. I'm not going to die on that hill. But the bottom line is that the best horseman for me was Nate, Tully, Arn, and then they always the big question, who's the fourth guy? Is it Ole or is it Barry Windham? Mm-hmm. If it was just for wrestling, Barry Windham, hands down.
Yes.
For the sizzle and the newness, you know, Luger was a good addition because he looked great and he had a youth and a big ass body to that group. But for me, my money, and don't discount Ole's ability to as a heel. He's a great heel. Phenomenal heel. But I like Barry in that group because all I knew, look at the workers. If you're a booker or you're a talent relations guy and you're looking at maximizing minutes for talent, there's four guys right there that can work with anybody in any environment, baby face or heel, cage matches, brawls, bloody matches, TV time limit matches, whatever it may be. And that's what you're looking for in my old role. They can play multiple positions and play them all at an all-star level.
All right. You and I are on the same page with that. There's no room for Double J in the Four Horsemen.
Well, I didn't say that, but he was, but I think on storyline wise, he was a horseman, but in my view, there's only one set of horsemen that I categorize as, you know, real horsemen.
Right.
And that's the four I named.
There you go. Sean Johns, what you got for Jim Ross tonight?
You doing, Mr. JR? Lauren, you like my shirt? I'm upset I didn't wear it last night. And my toy. I have been offered offers of three figures for this, and it's not leaving my house.
Oh, I have four or five of them. I should probably start unloading.
What is that? What is that, Sean?
It's a Eric Bischoff slam buddy.
Okay.
Yeah, we whoever at boxofthegimmicks.com needs to make a JR. They need to make one for everybody on the podcast.
I
That's
agree.
My opinion. My question is, back when you were in talent relations and the booking committee and for WCW and the NWA, was there anybody you had to let go? You know, coach's orders, you're just running the play, that you let go, that you kind of like, man, I wish I didn't have to let this person go.
But well, I didn't want it's the worst part of the job. So all those are lousy. Right. You know, I don't know. I let Marcus Bagwell go, and I wish I didn't have to, but that was a Vince call. Cause I think there was something there with Marcus if we had just got everybody on the same page.
Yeah.
But I let him go, unfortunately, in Atlanta. I remember that cause it bothered me. Marcus could have done more for himself, but, you know, sometimes we all shoot ourselves in the foot, but I felt like there was something there if we could just get there. So that would be one I could think of off the top of my head. I'm sure there's others, but that's one that pops in my head.
Tracer, really? yeah. That's really all I had. I do want to note that out of all the Hall of Famers I've met, you yourself, sir, I don't know if this is a bad sign or not, but you are number 13 of Hall of Famers that I have had the chance to speak to or meet.
Is that where I'm ranked? Your 13th most impressive Hall of Fame meeting?
In order of time I've met them.
Yeah.
You are number 13. It's okay. Not in order of importance.
Oh.
You're not like last on the list. You were just.
You threw me a life preserver.
Yes, sir.
To maintain my dignity.
It's nothing but respect, sir. I promise.
I'm kidding you, man. We're just having fun here.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate the feedback. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And you've been the voice of my career. I also noticed that a couple times in the WWE, Vince had tried to turn you heel. Mm-hmm. Your time in 96 and your...
I was horrible.
Yes, it was. And
that's what he wanted. That's what he wanted. That's what the boss wanted. You know, I'm an old ball player. Coach calls a play, go in and run it.
You ran that play.
I did what I was instructed to do.
Yes,
that's how you, because you know why? I cash those checks every week. Yes, they were very nice checks.
I couldn't get into it. And I had a feeling in my heart of hearts that you were just like, it sucks, but I'll do it anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's my job. I did my job. And I'm happy I got to do my job. Would I have booked that? Probably not. Yeah. But I did my job. And it's that simple.
I also liked your very blink and you missed it heel run in 1999, shortly before WrestleMania. That was just kind of, I know you went on Raw. You slapped the crap out of Bart Gunn. Like, you look at me when I'm talking. I remember that episode of Raw.
I was scared to death. I didn't want him to hit me.
and then the next week you come out and kick Michael Cole low, and I thought that
that was supposed to turn me heel, made me a bigger baby face. Poor Michael Cole. Like we talked about Michael Cole earlier. He's been dealt some bad cards. That was not a good deal for him.
No, it was not. So, another one, it's kind of like when Steve wanted to turn heel and the fans were not buying it. That's the same thing. When the WWF tried to turn you heel, they weren't buying it.
That's not what the people wanted to see. So anyway, Sean, thank you, buddy.
I didn't want to see John Wayne siding with Hitler. They wanted to see John Wayne beat Rooster Kyle.
I got you. All right, buddy. Yeah,
well, it's been my pleasure to talk with you, Mr. Ross.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Lauren, you are a delight as always. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving, JR. I'm pulling for you, brother.
Thank you,
man. But respect, sir.
You bet. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Sean. And before we wrap this one up with RJ, JR, I just want to make one thing perfectly clear. You may be number 13 to Sean, but you're my number one.
Of course I am tonight.
No.
you just said that because I'm very effusive about your bosom.
Despite cleavage. What anyone would say on the Grill and JR podcast, I have cleavage. One favorite.
So you know how to get over. Look at all. You see any women on this panel? No. So all guys, these.
All Jim these, Ross knows all my secrets.
All you these know dudes.
That's okay. That's okay. Well, anyway.
Thank you very much, Lauren. I may be number 13 in your program.
You'll be.
But I'm number one in your heart.
There you go. Number one for me. Nobody tell Eric or Tony that. RJ Krasinski. We're going to round this one out with a spectacular question, I'm sure, from you. Hello, RJ.
Of course, Lauren. It's always nice to see you. JR, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule for this tonight.
You bet, man.
So I know Michael and Men briefly touched on college football earlier, so I kind of want to piggyback a little bit off of that. I want to get your thoughts on the possibility, if ever, of them expanding the college playoff.
Yeah.
It's four teams right now.
That's not going to work. Now I'll get right to your question. Sure. Are they going to expand it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
When it becomes the same deal about being in a booking committee, they got to figure out what they want to do. And when they start looking at the money, it would generate the new money. It would generate if they expand it to say 16 single elimination tournament, 16 teams. And some of the teams like the top four may have buys. There's a lot of ways to skin the cat, but I think they will definitively because it creates a better, higher viewed television product. And all college football is today is a television product. We love the pageantry. We love the rivalry. We love our team song, and all that stuff. We all do. I like college football, like my Sooners. But you're not going to ignore that cash that's left on the table. Is my point. So I think definitely the four will expand to whatever it's going to be. I think 16 is a nice number because it works out to a nice tournament. But again, all you're doing is providing the networks with more premium programming that would entail this tournament. So absolutely, yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. It's going to happen sooner than later.
Yeah, definitely. It's what's best for business. And definitely been thinking about you with the whole ordeal you're going through. My mom just found out she's going through something similar too. So definitely thinking about you.
Blessings to everybody. Thank you very much, man.
Thank you, JR.
You bet, pal.
All right. Before we wrap this one up, JR, you have to settle the greatest debate of all time. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Well, I've heard that debate. Some say that it is. I say that probably not for me.
No, well, you're
I'd rather wrong. I'd rather have Chevy Chase drinking eggnog as, you know, people blowing up buildings. That quite doesn't fit the holiday mode to me, but I understand that some people are very hell-bent on saying that it definitely is. So just for me, it doesn't register as a Christmas movie. It's a hell of a film. I've watched it multiple times, but nonetheless, Christmas movie, I don't think so.
Okay. It's definitely a Christmas movie. And one of these days I'll have Bruce Willis on my wall of fame out here. For now, Jim Ross, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Of course, we're all thinking of you, praying for you, hoping the best for you.
All I want you to do is go to jrsbbq.com and buy something. You know, God almighty. We have a lot of stocking stuffers. Like I said, look, guys, I don't know. Some of you guys look like you might not have a lot of companionship at Christmas. Like me. So you buy something for yourself, buy your own stocking stuffer. We got all our signed books. We got these little copper mugs, all nice and engraved. Sauce, ketchup. Lauren likes our original sauce. That was my mother's recipe, by the way, the original sauce. It's good. I've been eating it forever, believe it or not. We invented the mustard for us and the chipotle ketchup, and they're badass. The mustard's a huge hit. And of course, Conrad swears by the seasoning. We send him we have bigger containers of seasoning. I should say they're Conrad size, but they're large. And, but he loves it. He uses it a lot. I tell him my granddaughter's using a popcorn. There's so many things you can use it with. Just use your own creativity. And so
when's
and
the hot sauce coming out?
I think the hot sauce is due on Black Friday. That's what I've been told by my the guy that runs the website, Stephen Link, does a great job there. And the company we're working with, which is in Wichita, Kansas, only 3 hours north of us in Norman. So it's soon. I've used it. I use it almost every day because I got samples. And we just said, you got to go to all the FDA, all the safety stuff. You got to get a nice label made. And you ain't got to be too fancy when it says JR's Red Ass Hot Sauce. That's what it is. It's hot too, man. I thought it'd be hotter. Then you're an idiot. You have no feeling in your tongue. What have you done to your, what have you done? Why are your tongue numb? But seriously, man, it's going to be fun. It's a new product. So you buy a bottle, you try it. If you don't like it, throw it away. If you do like it, use it, buy some more. That's how it works. So
Tim, we are looking forward to it, anxiously awaiting the arrival of that one. I need to let you know some of the things going on in the comments over here. Our friend Michael Amend says that during this Zoom, he's actually gone to the website and picked up a couple of things. So cool. It's working. We're over here talking all about it. And our friend Jimmy in the chat says that he has your mule mugs. He says it's the only pair you'll ever need.
Wow. Look at you.
I mean, he doesn't have a girlfriend, I would assume, because.
Well, the mule mug. Look, these mule mugs are cool. I drink coffee out of mine. I drink milk out of mine. It keeps milk. If you like cold milk, and I do, our little mule mugs are perfect. They keep the milk a little cooler for longer.
The perfect pair. Head on over to jrsbbq.com.
Yeah, Lauren's got a perfect pair. We've all noticed. All you testosterone-ridden young men, probably glad when I get off the air. Lauren's going to stay on, by the way, for another hour.
Topless. She's not. She's going to go watch Rampage just like the rest of you, but this has been a great time. We've all had a blast. JR, seriously, we are definitely thinking about you. Feel free to reach out if you need anything, want anything, desire anything. We're all here.
I may need a nurse. Can you do sponge baths?
You know, I've never done that, but I will be coming to visit you in Jacksonville November
20th. What an old perv I am. Oh, JR was on that thing. He was real pervy. Three or four times. He was Oh, yeah. I heard him. I saw his face. His eyes were
pretty clean. JR and I are friends behind the scenes. Don't be fooled. Anyway, I'll see you in Jacksonville, Jim, at the end of this month for a football game. I'll see you up here in Atlanta. Shortly after, I hope, for a little AEW action. And I'll
be back by then. It's just to be determined. But when I'm healthy, I'll be back.
You know what? If you're not back, I'll sit in that chair beside Tony Schiavone, and I'll try to carry the flag for you. How's that sound?
Hey, if you can swing that deal, have at it.
You know, you need to swing that deal for me. Hook me up. Give me Tony Khan's number. Let's make this one happen. Guys, I'll see all the rest of you on adfreeshows.com. Be sure to follow Jim Ross on all the social channels. And stick around for more live events from adfreeshows.com. Have a great night, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks for staying with us tonight. I appreciate all of you. And
you're the best.
As Lauren said, happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy some quality time. If it's by yourself or it's with family, enjoy the day and understand what the day is all about and enjoy it. And hopefully it'll be a good weekend. Hopefully my Sooners can win. The Jags, hey, look, they're crazy. I don't know. They may play the 49ers' ass off. But nonetheless, I'm going to the game, support my team, and we got a good quarterback. Just got to put everything else together. So anyway, have a good Thanksgiving. Enjoy your day, and count your blessings, because Lord knows I am. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Have a good holiday, JR. Love you, man.
Okay, guys. Appreciate you, fellas.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, everybody. Good
blessing to everybody.
All right. Thanks, guys. Lauren, thank you.
Good night.
See ya. I'm going to go watch Rampage.
Me too. Good night.
Yeah.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on. How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those Weekend Golf Guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.